Well, good evening. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch Community Church, and what a joy to be here tonight. Thank you, worship band. These guys always do an amazing job of leading us into the presence of the Lord, to just worshiping Him, and I'm so thankful that we have a group full of worshipers and talented musicians, and so we are so thankful for them and for their leadership. Before we dive in, I've got a couple of things I just wanted to announce. First of all, I think most of you life group leaders have heard, but we have a life group leaders meeting right after this. So make sure that you find out the details on that. But we just wanted to make sure that you knew about that. Also, for you college ladies, we have a pie breakfast coming up this Saturday. So again, I know those of you who are on the retreat knew about that. Yeah, it's new to me. I guess it's something girls like to do, but it's a pie breakfast in honor of Thanksgiving. So a bunch of people are fixing pies, and it's at 10 o'clock, am I right? 10 o'clock this Saturday morning. And that's at 1866 East Alameda here in Tempe. And so if you're in college and a female and like pie, you'll want to be there. All right. So we have been this entire semester actually in a series called A People for His Glory. And it's been a study on the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is awesome. It's kind of one of the history books of the Bible, because it's telling the history of the early church, of the original church that God established to facilitate what He was doing. And so Jesus had just died on the cross, and He was buried, and then He rose on the third day, and people were testifying, His disciples, the people following Him, were testifying to His glory, that He was God, that He was the Savior. And they began to do this, and people began to listen. People began to get stirred at the core of who they were, and they wanted to follow Him. And so as that was happening, God established the church to facilitate this great move of people coming to know Jesus and wanting not only to be converts, but to be disciples. And so they wanted to learn how to grow and how to really live this out. Because if it's true, then we want to be a people that live it out. It's kind of funny that we as a society today, especially in this Western context, have so many people that believe mentally in who God is and in Jesus, but they fail to have any desire to live out where God would lead. And so we want to be a church that authentically follows God. And so in that authenticity, we want to dig into His Word as much as we can and say, God, how do we live this life out? And so as we look at the book of Acts, we are not only looking at it as a history lesson, though it's valuable in learning how God was moving, but we are wanting to apply it every step of the way. And specifically, how we are applying this particular series is asking God, what are you wanting to do in our day, here in our city, in this valley, to draw people to Jesus? You are drawing men and women and children in droves, in mass numbers, as we read through the book of Acts. And so we're asking, God, how do you want to do that today? We know that God's heart is for people, and that He longs for people to know His Son Jesus. And we as the church have been entrusted with that very message, with the good news of Jesus. And so God, how are you calling us to be a church that facilitates the great move of God in our day, and that facilitates a spiritual awakening where people are coming alive again to God here in our day? And so it's been fun. We believe that the book of Acts is not over, that there is still a story to be told. It's over as far as what's going to be written in the Bible, but we believe there's more stories to be told about what God is doing and what He wants to do, and we want to be right in the middle of it. Not because we're any better, but that's just what we want. We want to be right in the middle of what God our Father is doing. And so we've been going through this series, and He has been leading us through it and speaking not only truth about the Word of God, the Scriptures, but speaking truths for us today and how we are to live this out. And so we're in Acts 17. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to be coming against something this evening that I feel like is really big for our day. And that is the idea of complacency. And we have a mix. There are a lot of younger people that I in this room, kind of in this generation of college students and young professionals, and that I would consider anything at least younger than me, kind of mid-30s and down, is in a generation that has, in a lot of ways, been marked by complacency, where the generation of our mothers and fathers, and specifically even our grandparents coming out of the Great Depression, were known for hard work, for perseverance, for pressing through. We, because of what they've provided for us many times, have become an entitled generation, where we have a sense of entitlement. Where, oh, that should be given to me, or that I should get this, or I deserve this. And if it meant, and this isn't to say that 100%. I'm not trying to talk about your character, but it just as a generation, we are marked by complacency. And I think the message that God wants to speak tonight is going to come against that spirit of complacency that is over our generation. So that we instead might be a generation that is able to forge ahead, that is able to press through into the destiny of God, into that which God has called us to. Because if we live under a banner, an umbrella of complacency, we will never press through to fulfill the call of God on our generation. It was said of King David, who was the greatest king that Israel, the people of God, had ever known, that he fulfilled the destiny of God for his generation, that he fulfilled the call of God for his generation. And we want that to be said about us, that we pressed through, that we didn't back down, that we didn't take shortcuts, that we didn't get detoured, but that we pressed through. And we as a church, though we're right here on right near a college campus, and that's with great purpose, and that was something that God has led us to do. However, we know that we need the generations that have gone before us to speak into, and I'm so thankful for those in this room that have been a part of this church and that have brought such great wisdom to us, great leadership. They're great intercessors that have been praying. And we need you, and we're believing for that population to grow in our midst. But we are called to be a church that forges ahead to see the call of God on our generation fulfilled. And there's a few things that we're going to learn tonight that are going to help us in that. Paul, we find here in Acts 17, had been traveling throughout the countryside. He had been with some different guys. We even saw last week in Acts 16 that he would try to go to this country or this city, and God would say, no, it's not the time for that, and so they would wait. Then he got this vision, and so they went over to Macedonia because felt like God was calling them there. And so they were going here and there and because Paul was one of the original church planters. He went around and he started churches. He would tell people about Jesus, find people that were hungry, that wanted to follow God, and he would form a church. And then he would go on and continue to do that. And so we find him here in Acts 17, and he's actually not doing that. He was escorted to Athens because there was some trouble, there was some rioting going on, so some of these guys got him out and brought him to Athens. And he was supposed to just be waiting there for a few days until a couple of his buddies, Silas and Timothy, were going to meet him there. And so that's where we catch up with Paul. And so he's been traveling, been planting churches, been doing all this. It seems like it would be a great time for him to just rest. He's got a few days here. Nothing's expected of him. He can just kind of slow down and maybe rest for a few days. But here's what happens to Paul. We're going to begin reading in verse 16. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this present teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. So we find Paul waiting. He's waiting in the city for his buddies. And yet while he is waiting, he must be taking a walk around the city or just kind of hanging out there. And while he's doing that, he notices something. He notices maybe more than all these other places that he's been that this town is full of idols. He's walking around and he's just seeing idols to this and to that, idols to anything that you could think of, people worshiping these idols, looking for anything to worship and to possibly make sure that they're worshiping the right thing so they don't miss anything. So there might even be some fear wrapped up in this. And as he sees this, it says in verse 16 that he was greatly distressed. More specifically, if you take the literal translation, it says that his spirit was distressed. His spirit was distressed. Other translations say his spirit was provoked. His spirit was angered, or his spirit was grieved. So he walks around this town, he sees all these idols, and something snaps in him. There's something that begins happening within him and within his spirit within him that he sees this and it's just not okay. It distresses his spirit. It provokes his spirit. It grieves his spirit. And the question for us tonight is, how sensitive is our spirit to ungodliness? How sensitive is our spirit to the Spirit of God? To that which the Spirit of God is, the things that the Spirit of God is grieved by. I think for me, I see that time as, man, that is a break. Woo, a down moment. This has been busy. We've been going nonstop. There's been churches planted. There's been riots. We've been looking, fearing for our lives. I got to take a break here. Wait for my buddies to come. Oh yeah, I see that there's idols and that's not good, that's ungodly. Obviously these people are missing out, but I just don't have it in me. I've got to protect this. I've got to provide for what I need. But there was something that happened in Paul. And I'm not saying this message that there is times for rest and God will give us rest. But there was something that happened in Paul in this moment that provoked him, that compelled him to move. Because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he was sensitive to ungodliness. That what he was seeing around him was not of God and was not for the people's good. And so he was compelled to action. Do we have that kind of sensitivity? Is our spirit grieved in that measure? And here's the important thing. Here is why this question is important. Not only is it going to combat complacency, that, okay, no, I've got to move because this grieves the heart of God, but because we want to be a church that establishes churches, that's our heart. That's why we moved here, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But we not only want to be a local church that serves this community well, that reaches people for the gospel here, but we feel called to be a church that plants churches around the world. That's just the call of God that he has given us. We want to model ourselves like we see is modeled in the book of Acts. And as I was reading this and looking over this passage this week, I just couldn't get past the fact that as Paul was out planting churches and that he was establishing these churches and seeing God move, that this was within him. That this sensitivity to the Spirit, this sensitivity to that which is not of the Spirit, he was so sensitive to those things that it compelled him to move in the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And if we are complacent, if we are not compelled to move because we see ungodliness and we are desensitized by it because of what we watch or because of what we do or what we say, oh, that's just what people do, and we're not sensitive to it, then we will never see a church planting movement established out of this place because we are not compelled with compassion. That we just assume that, well, that's how people are going to be. But Paul, I believe, was grieved in his spirit and compelled by compassion to show these people what they were really looking for. And so I want to talk about two things real quick that desensitizes us. And there could be more than this, but here are two major areas that bring that desensitizing effect to our spirit, to our eyes, to our minds. The first is just what we subject ourselves to. What are we subjecting ourselves to? And that particularly can be seen in the media that we watch, the movies that we see, what we listen to, the conversations that we enter into, and the things that we look on, and it becomes just commonplace to us. And yet it would grieve the Spirit of God. But because we're so inundated by it, it just seems like the norm for us. It seems very normal. And I want to give you a couple examples of how that might work. And this would go beyond just the things that we maybe would see. But for me, it's the easiest thing to get our minds around. Over the last 10 years, I have been in a progression of just desiring to watch less of what I used to, particularly in movies. And in every area that God has been calling me to watch what, to guard what I watch. And that's certainly helped being married, and Joy has a very sensitive spirit to the things that we watch. And so we've really cut out a lot of what most people would say, oh, that's fine to watch. And this isn't something that we try to press on other people. It is a desire for us that we just want more of God. We want to be sensitive to the things of the Spirit. We don't want to be desensitized by all the things that we see and watch. And where I see that coming to into fruition is now going back and watching movies from my childhood that I would watch even as a child, just little movies that were perfectly okay, that like a Goonies or a Back to the Future or something like that. I grew up watching these things. That now Goonies. That's a nice little kids movie. I think I watched that when I was 10. And then some of the sexual tone overtones and things in there. I'm like, oh, what? I watched this when I was 10, and I was just, and maybe some of that went over my head or whatever when I was that young. But there is certainly something that happens when you begin to step out of that and not watch what you would normally watch, or what is okay, or what is maybe on the line of what I should or shouldn't watch, that when we step away from those things, that our spirit becomes very sensitive to the ungodliness that is portrayed in those movies or in those TV shows. And I've never done one of these for an extended period of time myself, but I've heard of people that have gone on a couple of guys that I've known have gone on extended media fast where they won't watch any TV for 6 months. And they just tell these stories of the things that they watched right up until that time, and then when that fast was over and they begin watching it again, they were appalled. They were appalled, or they just couldn't even watch the things that they had been watching, whether it's because of violence or because of sensuality, whatever it was. There is something about watching the things that we subject ourselves to, whether it's something we watch, places that we go, whatever it is, that can desensitize us. It's just true. And so I think the challenge from the Lord would be for us to just search our hearts. What are the things that we are putting in that just shouldn't be there? What are the things that God is even just bringing to mind right now that I need to just be done with that? That it's not for my good. It's not building me up. It's not bringing life to me. And so we want to be a people that are sensitive, because when we're subjected to these things, it results in a lack of intimacy with God. The second thing that would cause us to be desensitized is a deprivation from time with God and His Word. That we are depriving ourselves from being with God, just being in His presence, spending time with Him. And for us, that will often looks like just getting up in the morning and starting off our day with a worship song, getting in the Word, connecting with God, and being in His presence. That looks like being in church together and worshiping God. It looks like being in a life group in the week. It looks like praying as you drive your car to work or walk to campus. It's connecting with God. It's setting aside time to connect with Him. It's being in His Word and so that we are formed by his word, not formed by the other things that we're reading or the things that we're putting into our minds. So this is not only abstaining from things, but now filling up ourselves with that which we should be filling ourselves with. I've heard it said that we become like what we worship. We become like what we worship. And as a believer in Jesus, I can see where that's true. That's my goal. I want to worship God, and I want to be like Jesus. That is the goal, is Christ-likeness, that we want to be like Christ Jesus. And we want to move towards that. That's how we want to reflect who he is. And so we do that by worshiping him, by having him in front of us, by loving the things that he loves. And so when we're not doing that, when we're not worshiping him, but instead worshiping other things, spending time imitating other things, then we begin to be influenced and look more like those things than we do like God. And so we increase our sensitivity by spending time with God. And then when we're sensitive to the Spirit, we step into a room and we're like, there's something not right about this place. I need to be a light in this place. That there's something here that is not of God, that saddens me, that brings me grief, that something is going on in my spirit. It's not okay. I'm distressed within me. And then we learn how to walk with that and how to bring the life of God. It doesn't make us downcast. That's not what we see Paul doing. And we're about to see what he does. He's not going to be like, oh, that's just a bummer. That's no good. That's not where we want to go. And we also don't see him bringing ridicule or bringing judgment to these people. He begins to talk with them. And we see that. We see that he begins to talk with them. And then we go on and read in verse 22, we want to see exactly where he goes with this. Verse 22, it says, Paul then stood up in this meeting of the Areopagus. And the Areopagus is just a council of elders. It was sometimes used as a legal institution in Athens. But it is a council of elders that loves hearing new ideas and talking them over. And so he stands up before them and says, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. So here's what I believe is happening with Paul. As far as I know, I don't think Paul had been there. And the only reason I say that is that he is surprised by the amount of idols that he's seeing. Or maybe at least he hasn't been there in a while and there's all these idols there now. So he's seeing all these, he's distressed within his spirit. And he's realizing, as it says in verse 21, that all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That's what they love doing. And I think this is what rose up in Paul. A compassion for these people. That they are looking day in and day out. That's all they do is talk about the new ideas, the new philosophies. And yet the very one that they're looking for to answer all their questions, to fulfill their deepest needs, they're missing out on. And they haven't found him. They're searching for this truth, for this philosophical reasoning that will blow their minds, that will bring them comfort, that will bring them peace, that will give them something to live for. And Paul is overwhelmed with the idolatry, and is overwhelmed with how people are searching and not finding the one true God that has expressed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so he looks for a way, he steps out. And first, well, that's one thing we need to sometimes do. We don't have to have it all figured out, but he steps out. And I believe that God gives him kind of a word of wisdom or allowed him to notice this one altar that said, to an unknown God. And that's where they were fearful to the point where, man, we better get all our I's dotted and T's crossed, and just in case we haven't, here's an altar to an unknown God. And so Paul uses that to begin to speak to them because they'd never heard of Jesus. And so God gives him this inroad into the people of Athens. And I don't think he's done a lot of study. You don't have to have it all right. Like, okay, if we're going to reach this people, we need to do it this way and do this and that. You need to step out of compassion. And we see throughout this, quick side note, we see throughout the life of Jesus that every time the word compassion is mentioned in his ministry, that he was overwhelmed with compassion or filled with compassion, that he stepped out and moved in great power. That God, the love of God came behind him and healed people. And it was just incredible. So we want to be moved by compassion. And I believe that's what Paul did here. He moved with compassion. And he wanted to declare this God whom they had been looking for. Paul is convinced that they were looking for the one true God. And that's what gave him confidence. So are we convinced? Are we convinced? We can be moved with compassion. We can see as we grow sensitive to the Spirit of God and the ungodliness, we can begin to sense those things. But the next step then is that we are moved with compassion and that we are convinced that those around us need Jesus. We're convinced. I believe that's what gave Paul his confidence, that he was convinced that when he saw these people crying out and searching all these ideas, he was convinced that they needed Jesus. And he was confident in that. And we need to be convinced in the same way. And the way that we are convinced is because we have experienced God. If you know that God is good, if you've experienced that deeply, if you know it to be true and it's an authentic relationship that you have with God, then you are going to be convinced that there are others all around you that need him. Because he's brought you hope. He's brought you life. He's brought you peace. So Paul is convinced of that, and so he begins to speak. And this is what he says to them beginning in verse 24. And let this move you. In fact, why don't you just close your eyes? And I want you to just to picture Paul speaking this out over the people of Athens that have never heard about the one true God and have never heard about Jesus. And this is what he speaks over them. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by man. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. For he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he created every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. And he determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that man would seek him. And perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are God's offspring. Therefore, if we are God's offspring, we should not think of the divine being as such things as silver or gold or precious stones. Images made by man's design and skill. For in the past, God has overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Paul gives a compassionate, passion-filled speech to the men and women of Athens that had never heard about this one true God who loves them, who cannot be crafted out of stone, but can be known in a real and personal way. And it says that there were those who scoffed, rejected the message, that jeered, is the way that my Bible translated, they jeered Paul for what he believed. There were others that asked him, can we meet again? We have more questions. We want to ask you about this. And then there were some that followed him. Then immediately said, this is true. God immediately spoke to them and they began to follow Paul and to follow Jesus in that day. And I would say that's the response that you will get as you grow in your sensitivity to the Spirit. as you are convinced at who God is and are able to move with compassion into a world around you that needs to know about the love of Jesus, you will have people that will jeer. You will have people that ask questions that are genuinely seeking and on a road to knowing God, and you will have some that say, "Yes, I need that. I've been wanting that. It's what I've been searching for." One of the verses that stick out here for me is verse 26 and 27, and this is the heart of what we're talking about, of why Paul was moved with compassion. It says that from one man, God created every nation of men, that they might fill the entire earth. And then it says, he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So God set it up. Why is he setting things up? He's setting it up so that people might seek him, so that they might find him, because he's not far from each one of us. That is the heart of God. He wants to set you up to find him. He's not far. And he wants to open our eyes like Paul's eyes were opened for the men and women of Athens, that they are searching and they are going to this philosophy and that idea and trying to find anything and any altar, any idol to bring fulfillment, to bring satisfaction, to find love and not fear. And he knew they would never find it until they found this God, the one true God who loves them, who knows them, who has set them up to find peace and life and joy in him. So my prayer is that we would move from this place and our eyes would be opened to see those that are looking for affirmation in relationships, that they're looking for significance in a job. They're looking for a security of a paycheck. They're looking for love from people, of affection, because of an image that they've sought after, and they're not going to find that affection there. They're not going to find the love that they truly desire in a relationship with another guy or girl. They're not going to find the affirmation that they need from being successful. They're not going to find their identity in all of these things. They're only going to find it when they meet Jesus. And we need to be convinced that he is the answer, and that nobody in here is any better than anyone else. It's just that we found the one that has given us hope, and that he is the God of all people. He is the creator God. He is the living God. He is the God that is the father of all mankind. And he sent his son Jesus to seek and to save the lost. And we get to join with him in this pursuit. Let me pray. God, would you just give us your heart? Lord, would you make us sensitive in our spirits, that we would not overlook sin, that we would not say that it is okay, that we would not make excuses for ourselves, that we would not be complacent in pushing through, but God, that our spirits would be sensitive to you, and that we would not subject ourselves, our minds, our eyes, our ears to ungodliness, but we would continually go to you. That we would be a people that pursue your presence and that are changed by you, God. And in that place of meeting with you, I pray that we would be more convinced than ever before that you are good and that we need you, that we need your love, that we need you because of our sin and that we are trapped in. We need you as our Savior. And we would be so convinced that we would then be compelled to move in compassion to a world that is hurting, that is broken. Lord, let us not be fooled by masks and facades that people put up that make everything look okay, that look all right, when on the inside they're crumbling. They're hurting from broken relationships, from wounds, from lack of affirmation, from not being accepted for who they are. Lord, let us break through walls with the love of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We want to have a time of responding to God. Something that we do at the end of every time we get together. And I believe it's one of the most important things that we do, because we don't want to just leave here having heard a few good ideas or some good thoughts and not ever taking them to heart, not ever asking God, what do you want me to do with these things? And so this is our time to respond to God. So I just want to invite you to stand with me. And as the band leads us out, we want to just respond to him in a few different ways. Some of you, I believe that God, it really is bringing a conviction of things that you have subjected your spirit to. And you recognize places where your spirit has been desensitized. And God I would invite you to just to move forward in a place of repentance. Just saying, God, I don't want to live in that place. I want to move towards you. I want to increase my sensitivity by spending time with you, by getting to know your word, the Bible, more than I ever have before. There's some of you tonight that I believe God is just wanting to convince, and you need to know, like you've never known before, that every man and woman was created for a relationship with God. And it's very clear and from the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis that we were made in the image of God. And we were designed to have relationship with God. And I love how Paul looked at the people of Athens in the middle of all their idolatry. It may have seemed that they were really far from God. That while these people are so far from God and they have all these idols, how are they ever going to distinguish the one true living God? But instead of Paul looking at them and saying, oh, they're so far from God, he looked at them and said, oh, they are so near because they're searching. They're searching, they're looking for affirmation in these idols. They're looking for security and identity in these idols. And he looked at him, he said, oh, but they're really searching for God. And so God wants to show you today how there are those in your life that are searching, they're looking for worth, for value, for significance, for identity, for fulfillment and satisfaction in so many things. And he wants to bring compassion to you and give you eyes to see that it's only going to be found. All of those things are only going to be found in Christ Jesus. And as you find that, he wants to compel you to be moved with compassion. So let's respond. Let's respond to those two things. I believe there's one more thing that I'm going to share in just a moment to respond to. But if that's you, if you just need to get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry that I've desensitize my spirit, I just want to ask you to go ahead and just move forward, get on your knees and just pray to God. Ask him what you need to do. Maybe you need to go on a media fast. Maybe you need to rethink the things that you're looking at or the way that you're living. And also, if you just feel like, man, I just need to be convinced. I don't want to be hesitant anymore. I don't want to be fearful. I need to be convinced and compelled with the compassion of God. Then you step forward. So that you can just be moved by the Spirit of God to leave this place and to love people into the kingdom of God. Let's respond to God as the band leads us.